and to influence their lives and control what they do afterward. So someone who, you've seen maybe someone who is drunk, or you've maybe heard the stories, or you've seen it on television, where someone allows themselves to become intoxicated, filled with wine, and all of a sudden it begins to control them. They actually lose control. They are under the influence of alcohol. Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 5. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink. Again, they're under the influence all the way early in the morning. Their desire from the very beginning is to follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. All of a sudden now, that alcohol has control of them. At the beginning, they felt like they had control of the alcohol. They can drink the amount they want. They can stop whatever they want. After a while, all of a sudden, they recognize now the alcohol has control of me. You may have known someone who's kind of quiet, passive, until they drink too much. All of a sudden, they become loud, belligerent, abusive. You say, wow, that doesn't seem like it. Well, they're being influenced now by something else. This passage actually draws that right in. I don't think if any of us were setting out to write the scriptures, we would draw a connection between the Holy Spirit's control and the control of alcohol. But God knew we would understand the influence that alcohol has on someone and uses it as not only somewhat of a parallel, but a total contrast. Have you ever heard of someone being filled with wrath or being full of anger? What are we saying about that individual? They have so much anger in them, it is now controlling them. They're filled with it. They're under anger's influence. And so again, in this passage of Scripture, it's really about comparing and contrasting. But I want us to see the control of the Spirit. Again, when we talk about, in this passage, Ephesians 5:18. We may have heard the statement, when you get saved, you get all the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily get all of you. And I do believe directly that's what be ye filled with the Spirit. Allow Him to fill the entirety of your being means. But I don't think it's limited to just that. I don't think it's just limited to allow the Holy Spirit to fill all of your being. I think what it's ultimately speaking to is allowing the Holy Spirit to control you. As you go throughout life, sometimes you allow something to be taken in, but you don't necessarily allow it to control you. He is saying of the Holy Spirit here, just like alcohol takes control of a drunkard, you as a Christian are to allow the Holy Spirit to take control of you. In fact, the command, it's one of the few commands in this passage where be filled with the Spirit, but it's actually in the passive. Let me explain what that means just so we understand and we can grasp it. Being filled with the Spirit is not something you do, it's something you allow. Like, if I were to command you, be ye filled with the Spirit, that doesn't mean you go get the Spirit and you put Him all into you. That's not what it's talking about. The Spirit is already in you. What you're doing is allowing Him now to control every aspect of your life. Some of you would look at your life and say, you know what, the Holy Spirit is really controlling me in this area, and the Holy Spirit is really controlling me over here, and I'm really growing in this area of my life. But over here, man, I've been really selfish here, and I've been keeping that to myself, and I'm really living in the flesh in that area of the life. And what this passage is talking about, allow the Holy Spirit not only to fill all of you, but to control all of you. What He's commanding the believer to do is allow the Holy Spirit to take control. So the filling is synonymous with controlling. Let me ask you, are you totally controlled by the Spirit. The Spirit wants every area of your life. Are you allowing Him to control? Listen, control what you watch. Control what, are you allowing the Spirit to control what you listen to? Are you allowing the Spirit to control what you read? Are you allowing the Spirit to control how you respond to people? Someone offends you. Are you in control? Are you allowing the Spirit to control? It's a great Bible word. It's called meekness. Have you ever heard of it? Meekness. The Bible attributes meekness to one character beyond Christ more than any other. And who was that? Moses. Moses was known for his meekness. Let me ask you, was Moses always meek? Can you think of a point in time in Moses' life that he was not meek? I can think of one occasion, there are several, but one occasion is when he spied an Egyptian. Do you remember that story, slaying one of his brethren? And Moses didn't have that meekness. He was not yet alone with God and allowing Him to control him in that area of his life. And so Moses, when he saw that, he responded in the flesh. In fact, this really made it difficult for Moses because he was supposed to be God's chosen leader, and he was. But the children of Israel didn't want him as a leader, and partly because he was a hothead. Partly because he would lose control sometimes. And so Moses, in his anger, did what we sometimes think would be the manly thing to do, and we're going to take care of that. That guy is slaying one of our brethren. We're going to stand up for our brethren, and we're going to kill him. And we think that's the manly thing to do, and the maybe as a patriot, patriotic, that's the thing to do. But in that situation, that was not pleasing to the Lord. And what Moses had to learn was allow God to fill that area of his life and take control. Do you remember several other instances after that? The children of Israel would rise. And you know what? God was preparing Moses for what he needed. Because later on, when the children of Israel would come and chide with Moses, and we're going to talk about one of those this evening in Numbers chapter 20, when the children of Israel, and the word to chode there used, it means to really be not only verbally, but even physically combative. All of a sudden, this man who's now controlled by the Spirit, instead of immediately taking things into his own hands, bows before the Lord. So as a Christian, we are to be filled. And what is it saying? We are to allow Him to control. We are to give way. We are to make a choice. So what area do you struggle with in your life? I've mentioned anger with Moses. Is it that area for you? Are there situations in your life, whether it happens at work or it happens at home or wherever it may be, that you rise up in anger because of what someone has done to you? You rise up in anger because of the circumstances that are coming in your life? What are you doing with that anger? Are you giving it over and allowing the Lord to control you? Or are you taking your anger and using it to try to work the will of the Lord? Do you remember what the Lord tells us about anger? The wrath of man worketh what? Worketh not the righteousness of God. And so what He wants us to do is put that away. So the control of the Spirit, then I also want you to recognize the choice of the Spirit. And be not drunk. He says, make this choice not to be drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He said, what I want you to do is actually make a choice. The drunkard makes a choice. Go back in your mind's eye with me to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 11 that I spoke of earlier. Don't need to turn there in your Bible. I'm not even going to turn there. But he says that drunkard, he rises up early in the morning and he stays at it. And by late in the night, that now inflames him. He made a choice. In fact, that choice may have been made really early in the day. That choice may have been made hours before he ever even bought the alcohol. That choice was made maybe way many hours before he ever took that first sip. You've heard me say it before. If you've been here a while, and I'll say it again. You're under the influence of alcohol way before you ever take that first sip. It may have influenced the way you, what money you took along with you that morning. It may have influenced what direction you went to work or what direction you came home from work. It may have influenced what your time schedule of the day, because you wanted to make sure you can go by to get that alcohol. Influenced you far before you thought you were under its influence, because you made choices based upon that which you wanted. Dear friend, it's no different for pornography. It's no different for drugs. It's no different for anger. Very often we come under its influence far before we ever actually commit the sin. It's a choice. He says, make a choice not to be under the influence of alcohol, wherein is what? Excess. What does that mean? It means riotous living. It means uncontrolled living. It means a sickness that cannot be cured. And so often, and by the way, let me just state this clearly. The Bible is not calling alcoholism a sickness. It's calling it a sin. Okay? But it's like a sickness that's incurable. But he says, make that choice not to be drunk with wine where is excess, but then make this choice, be ye filled with the Spirit. And again, what you're doing is making this decision, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to fill all of me. I'm going to allow it to influence my life. Peter, when he got up to preach, he was full of the Holy Ghost. Stephen, as he got up to preach, was full of the Holy Ghost. What were they doing? They were allowing the Holy Ghost to influence them as they preached. No doubt, as I preach messages, I ask for the indwelling and the influence of the Holy Spirit. And at times, all of a sudden, I'm preaching at something, and I'm kind of up here sometimes just scratching my head. Why am I there? At times, you know, I recognize this is the Holy Spirit leading me to talk about part in this message, something I never even thought about preaching on. You say, well, why does the Holy Spirit do that? Well, the Holy Spirit knows there's a particular need that needs to be met. And He's dealing with the heart. And so as a Christian, what we need to be doing is doing as Peter did and end up having to surrender. And you know what? He really struggled with fishing. He went back several times. And in fact, right at the end, right before Christ was about to depart, he's going back to fishing again. You know what? The Lord is so merciful. The Lord is so long-suffering. The Lord takes time with Peter and meets him. Why is that? Because he wanted to bring Peter back. He wanted to bring Peter back into a right relationship. And so what does the Lord do? He extends himself toward Peter. Dear friend, I want you to know as you go through life, the Lord is going to be constantly extending himself to you through his Spirit. And what he was asking you to do is allow him to take control. There's going to be areas you're going to struggle with. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's going to be areas in your life you're going to keep wanting the control back. You're going to want to return to the alcohol. You're going to want to return to the pornography. You're going to want to return to the lying. You're going to want to return to the stealing. You're going to want to return to the anger. And he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve Him. Allow him to have control. By the way, this control is not permanent. This control, just like alcohol, has an effect for a few hours, correct? It has an effect for a few hours, and then after a while, that feeling wears off, and then a new feeling comes. It's called a hangover, basically. But you don't drink alcohol once and then forever live under that state of excess. So again, it may be the next day or maybe the next weekend. So many people go out and make the same choices and buy it all over again. Why? Because they want to get to that point of just allowing that alcohol to have control. Do you know the same is with the Spirit? I can't just ask the Holy Spirit to fill me today and expect that the rest of my life I'll be filled. No. I need to constantly be refilled. That's why it's in the present active. Or that's why it's in the present tense, meaning you need to keep doing this. So many of you know that I bought a Prius. I said the worst thing about buying a Prius, I can't pick on Pastor Terry for owning a Prius anymore. He didn't tell me you still have to put gas in those things. He never told me that. Do you know the interesting thing about owning a Prius? If I fill it up, I can go less distance than I can in my Ford Edge with one fill up. Some of you are looking at, really? Yeah, I mean, I don't get 1,000 miles a gallon. Get around 50 miles a gallon, right? But with a full tank, I only get 7 gallons in a tank. So I got to every 300 miles fill up. You know, I can go about 360 miles with my Edge. Why is that? Because I get 16 gallons in that tank. I can actually drive further with the Edge, but it costs me a lot more to get there, right? Well, the Holy Spirit, no matter who you are in a Christian life, you can't go further. You can't go long. It's a constant. And it's through the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So as a Christian, you have to recognize, I can't go days on end without being in the Word of God and days on end without asking for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. I can't go days on end without allowing Him to have more control of my life. It's a daily pursuit. It's a daily keeping your body under and bringing it into subjection. So in your life, what areas are you taking control of and not allowing Him to control you? For instance, we ought to be allowing Him to control our emotions. We're emotional beings. We've been made in the image of God. Emotions are part of it. But if we are not careful, we're going to allow our emotions to control us. And our emotions are going to cause us to have unbiblical thinking. And unbiblical thinking is going to lead to unbiblical activities. And so we got to begin at the very root and say, you know what? I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to even control my emotions. He is concerned about your emotions, isn't He? Because it's part of who you are. So what we need to do as a Christian, maybe at this point in your life, whatever you're going through in your family, in your family situations, maybe because of what the other person in the family or the other people in the family are doing, you're having trouble controlling your emotions. Well, you need to begin to give them over to the Lord. You need to begin to acknowledge and say, Father, I give You this situation in my life. May Your Spirit help me. And remember, the Spirit is also called the Comforter. So when you're struggling with your emotions and you want to get revenge and you want to get even, those emotions you give over to Him. And you said, will You fill me? What are You saying? Will You control me? Would You help direct my emotions that I'm struggling with and fighting? What about your thinking? Again, do you think the Holy Spirit is interested in what you think about? He sure is. Because He recognizes, and this will be part of tonight's message, He recognizes what you think about, if not controlled, is ultimately going to lead what you do. And so the Holy Spirit is very interested in what you think about. And so in the situations of life that you're facing, maybe it's a health situation, well, you got to ask the Holy Spirit to control your thinking. You got to pray about that. You got to yield, say, remember, this isn't something you do, this is something you allow, and you say, Holy Spirit, would you help direct what I'm thinking on? Would you help me? And we need to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity. But we also got to yield ourselves to Him. So maybe that medical report that you just keep dwelling on and thinking about, and what if this and what if that, and you just keep mulling over the prediction that the doctor has for you, and the prognosis, I guess is a better word to use, of what your future may look like. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to take control. You need to ask Him to help you when all of a sudden your mind gets running on those thoughts, to prompt your heart through your conscience. Say, will you help me, Spirit? I want to yield myself. And then our activity. This whole passage here in Ephesians chapter 5, in fact, look at it if you would with me, beginning in verse number 1. He says that we are to be followers of God as dear children. I love that. Again, we are His children. We're to walk in love as Christ. He's talking about the Christian walk, beginning in verse 1 and down through. He's talking about how we are living in this world, but are not to live according to the course of this world. And again, really being, really chiding us to really be careful about our relationships. And He says that we should not be partakers with them in verse number 7. Look what He goes on to, beginning in verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so He's talking about our Christian walk and how important it is for us to live the Christian life properly by being controlled by the Spirit. A number of weeks ago, Karen was having trouble with her computer. And I remember for the first time doing this was back about 1999. I remember having a trouble with my computer. I knew a guy named Rick Crowder who lived in Clinton, Maryland, who used to work on admirals' computers and high government officials' computers, and not only high up in the military, but high up in the government. If they had trouble with their computer, they generally take it to him. He said, one day I'm working on a general's computer because they figure I'm about the only guy in the world that may know how to fix it. He said, it is just locked up totally. He said, I prayed and then I rose it 3 foot off the desk and dropped it. He said, I really prayed then. He said, you should have seen the stares, the gasps. He said, I rose it, lifted it up again, dropped it 3 feet onto the desk. I really prayed and opened it. He said, you know what? It worked. I figure if a guy can work on a general's computer and get it to work, maybe he can work on mine. And have you ever done it where you, even though he was in Clinton, Maryland, he got an access code to me and I typed it in and all of a sudden he's controlling my computer? It's eerie. There's the mouse going around. There's the files opening up. There he is changing the diastics and so forth with it. And all of a sudden he changes and he gets it running. He takes it into DOS and all this stuff and he gets it to run. What you're doing is you're allowing Him to make the changes. Now, at any point, I can hit escape. But what we are doing as a Christian is we are allowing that Holy Spirit to take control. I wonder, Christian, is He in control of your life? The only way that you're going to have a right relationship with God is by allowing His Spirit to have control. You see, His Spirit is not going to lead you into any offense against the Father. Anything His Spirit leads you to do, directs you to do, is going to be in line with what the Father wants. Why? Because the Trinity is always in unity. The Spirit of God has never grieved the Father of God. So for you as a Christian, to be in a right relationship means you've got to allow Him to have control. Whether it's your emotions, your thinking, your will and your activity. Every aspect you need to just take your hands off and give Him full control. What area is it, Christian, right now is in your control? Right now you're manipulating, you're controlling, you're getting it to go your way. You're satisfying yourself. Or, not because you want to satisfy yourself, you just want to get out from the pain and agony, the struggle, and so you're manipulating it to go your way. For you to have a right relationship with God, for you to be spiritual, means you need to take the hands off and give control to the Spirit. Let's pray. Be ye filled with the Spirit. I wonder how many in our congregation this morning are really allowing the Spirit of God to influence and control every aspect. I want to first of all talk to anyone here, maybe a non-Christian. You have not, would not call yourself a believer. You would not say that you've been born again. Maybe you're not sure. Maybe you hope you are going to heaven. But you know, you didn't know necessarily that you would call yourself a Christian. Is there anyone here that's not had a point in time in their life where you've trusted in God alone for salvation? There's never been that point, that time, where it's been all Him and nothing about you. If not, You're not one of God's children. Not because of what I'm saying, but because of what the Word of God says. Don't get upset that I would say that. Think, you know what? That helps me to know where I am. And who would say, Keith, as you preached this morning, I have never trusted in Christ alone for salvation. Would you pray for me? Just with an uplifted hand, you say, there's never been that point in time where I've trusted in Christ alone for salvation. Would you pray for me with an uplifted hand? Okay, then speaking to Christians. As I was preaching, was there a specific area in your life that came to your mind? I'm not talking general. Did the message help you? Was it meaningful to you? I'm talking about as I preach and you're a Christian, you say, Pastor, as you preach, there was something specific that God brought to my attention that I am not allowing Him to control me in that area. Or it keeps going back and forth. One day He has control and it really has burdened me. It's bothering me. Pastor, I just want you to pray that I'll allow Him to control me in that specific area that I... Will you pray for me, Pastor? There's a specific area I'm battling with, and I would appreciate your prayers in that half. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Several more. There. There. Seniors raising their ladies in their 20s. Men. Young men in their 20s. Teens. God bless you. Thank you. Put those hands down. Thank you. Thank you. I'll pray for you. Dear Father, we come to You in Jesus' name.